Shalom,
hello. We're in a special lesson in preparation for the Arava Congress. This is a lesson about the 10 as an embryo. It's a preparation lesson. The text can be found on our website, kav.co.il. Questions can be asked there as well, which may be asked during the lesson. Again, the subject of the lesson is the 10 as an embryo.
We learn from the wisdom of Kabbalah what a long way we have to go through in order to already enter a state in which we advance in connection with the upper force, in connection from us. The fact that we are all under the control of the Creator, this is obvious to us, that there is none else besides Him. However, the fact that we begin to enter in a mutual connection with the Creator, this is what we learn as the beginning of the Ibur, the conception, the beginning of the letter, when there is a sequence of states in which we discover the upper force, one, unique and unified, and we enter connection with Him. And this connection is constantly becoming tighter and tighter, multifaceted. And the beginning of that connection, the beginning of the connection is built on annulment of the person towards the Creator. Why? Because everything that is in the person, all in all, is the corporeal will to receive food, sex, family, money, honor, and knowledge. And we have to annul ourselves towards all of these conditions that the Creator is presenting to us as the beginning of the Ibu, the conception. For each one it is different, seemingly, because each one nevertheless has different reshimot, but in the end the result has to be one, that the person annuls himself, in that he doesn't need anything, he doesn't want anything other than one thing, to be in contact with the Creator, even though for achieving this in order to achieve this contact, he gives everything up, whatever he has. Emotionally, he doesn't have to physically let go of everything. But as Bala Sulam writes, in The Reason for the Heaviness in the Work, in annulling oneself to the work, is that it seems to the person that he's leaving his family and the world and everyone, everything, and he's going to annul towards the Creator. And it could be that this is how one feels, even though all of these sensations come gradually, and we have no choice. We have to go through them. And we also have to see it from, looking back, how many people left that were not able to concede anything on the path. They didn't even realize that they have to make these concessions, or maybe they don't have to make these concessions. We also didn't know it, but we went through a long path, and it's a sign that the Creator guarded us, and He brought us already to a state where it is close to Ibu, to conception. Ibu, meaning that we leave everything that we had as unimportant things. Not that we leave them physically, rather we leave them in terms of their importance, that I lower all of the things that I have in this world in their degree of importance to zero. And against that, I start elevating the importance of connection with the Creator more and more. And when atop all of the disturbances, as we call them, that is the revelations that this is important and this is important in my world, I begin to say that nothing is important for me other than contact with the Creator, Then I enter Ibur. So let's see how Rabash described these things. We're in number 8 now, right? Please, go ahead. So excerpt 8 from where?
From Rabash, volume 3, the sanctification of the month.
Yes.
One must accept the burden of the kingdom of heaven upon himself in the lowest state and say that even in this state, when there can be no greater lowliness, namely that it is completely above reason, he has no support from his rationale and emotions so as to lay his foundations upon them. Then one is regarded as if standing between heaven and earth, completely unsupported, because he is entirely above reason. Then one says that the Creator sent him this state where one is in utter lowliness, because the Creator wants him to assume the burden of the kingdom of heaven in this state of lowliness. Then he takes it upon himself, because he believes above reason that the state he is now in came to him from the Creator. Because the Creator wants him to see the lowest possible state that one can occupy in the world. In any case, one must say that he believes in the Creator in all circumstances, and this is called unconditional surrender.
This means that here we have to determine that whatever we get, it all comes from above, from the Creator, because there is none else besides Him. That's one. Second, that all of the obstructions come from the Creator as conditions upon which I must determine that it comes from the Creator. And all of the obstructions are the broken vessels that, through the shattering, the connection between these kelim, these vessels, and the Creator was lost. This is called shattering. And I need to know that everything that appears in order for me to determine not only that it comes from the Creator, but that I, because of these, upon these disturbances, I must come back to the fact that it is all coming from the Creator. And with all of that, I hold on to the connection with Him, to the dvekut, adhesion with Him. Truly, within the desires and thoughts that are the hardest, that they disconnect from me, from the Creator, I must discover the connection with Him. How do I do it? How do I? Well, each and every one of you felt it already. How do I, in all of these unpleasant things that are confusing, threatening, how do I discover inside of them the connection with the Creator? Please.
If I understood the question correctly, then, well, relatively speaking, in all of these threats which pop up during one's life, after a time of recuperation, one can understand that there's no logic to them other than some intent to awaken a person to the thoughts about what's truly important in life and who runs this theater we live in and what's my work as a person towards it, towards the environment he brought me to, It's a process.
Yes, it greatly depends on the preparation that we undertake. If we now create such a connection where we are in one prayer, each for the others, then when all of these obstructions occur that disconnect you from the prayer and kind of push the person inwards, then nevertheless, out of the connection with the friends, the idea comes up that there's none else besides him who's orchestrating all of this.
It's all just an opportunity, an excuse to connect. The feeling remains as it is, but our disposition towards it changes. All these reminders come from the Creator, and then it's just an opportunity for us to be in a connection with Him.
Yes, there has to be this connection, and there must be obstructions and unpleasant sensations, because then there is an opportunity upon them to demand this connection.
It's the feeling that, well, the ego takes over you every day anew, bringing you all kinds of disruptions, and especially the kind that you can't ignore. And then the example that the environment gives you is the key. If you succeed in magnifying the importance of the friends and the environment around you, then you feel you must be like them. Suddenly you feel uncomfortable if you don't see everything as there's none else besides him.
Yes, and in the end, we have to agree with the situation, hold on to it, and try to rise with it above reason. This is where the Creator waits. He doesn't wait on this floor. And for that, on the basis of this pain, we have to raise man.
If we build the society by Elvut, we generate such a field in the environment, then after an unpleasant feeling, a difficult one, we come to a state of there's none else besides him. And even, I wish, we are happy that we go through it.
How do I, instead of asking for the Creator to take away all of these disturbances, above which I need to reach adhesion with him, I ask for the adhesion. I ask for an even greater connection with him, so much so that these disturbances don't stand in my way, and they even become those very connections by which I connect with him. How do I reach from feeling obstructions to a state where I rise above them towards the connection of the importance of the connection with the Creator, so much so that these disturbances become connections with the Creator? Because these disturbances are in me. It is my shattering that comes to me from the sin of the Tree of Knowledge, and then I, by them being revealed, I ask to have a connection that these disturbances will be corrected. So how do I reach that? Practically. De facto. Please. Rav, and the first reaction is that I don't want these disturbances. They're unpleasant, I'm afraid, I want to run away from them, I don't know what to do with them. Serious disturbances come in such a way that a person is truly panicking. Yes? Please?
Well, you can divide the answer in two. During the event and after it. And the answer to both these states regarding the disruption as it's happening, that depends on the connection that a person has built with the environment, the extent to which he gives them and receives from them the importance and greatness of the connection with the Creator. Although during an interruption such as that, also it's a question, what exactly is that interruption, that obstacle? A kid feels unpleasant when a chocolate cube is taken from him, and he can call that an obstruction. And for us, it's disconnections from there's none else besides him, and the event itself, whether good or bad, that's not what defines the essence of the interruption. But one's disposition towards everything that happens in his life depends on the framework, foundation that he builds with this, through the society, or the importance of recognizing the greatness and importance of the Creator.
Yes, specifically during the concealment, it is the best possible time to ask for dvikut, adhesion. Otherwise, there's no way to come out. The thing is that the natural request is simply for this disturbance to go away, that the disturbance will stop. And here, what can really help is the friends and the habit in this work. If there is such a view that specifically during the concealment it is the best possible time now to ask and to help to work in a way that is closest to bestow, then there is importance to it.
I think that the alteration of this position towards it is, well, mostly by studying about it, intellectually speaking about these things and understanding what needs to be done so that change actually occurs through our work and that we engage in it, and then, well, the feeling starts changing.
We need to get used to the fact that this is our work. That's how it's going to be, and we actually want it because by that we want to develop.
And here, the Ten comes in as the main player. Because no disruption comes from the Creator. It always comes through a friend. He makes sure not to be there when it comes. And the work is entirely about starting to justify and to elevate the subject of the interruption. And through that, to reach a state where there is a lack, and you disqualify, and you incriminate, and you don't agree to it, and you translate it to a lack for connection, for adhesion.
We heard that Rav now said that this is exactly the place of the connection with the Creator. If we will prepare ourselves in the Ten, in the study, in the Or Chozer, in the reforming light, and it helps us, then we can be ready for it together.
Item 9, Rabash, Volume 2, Letter Number 65. One must decide on his own that the Creator will give him the desire to annul to him entirely, meaning not to live under his own authority any desire, but rather for all of his desires to be only to create, to work for the glory of the heavens. And when he decided on complete annulment, then he asked the Creator to help him to put this into practice. Meaning, even though regarding thought, his thought, he disagrees with that, then he needs to pray to the Creator to help him want to annul to him with all of his desires and not to leave to himself any aspect of desire. And this is called complete prayer, because his desire is for the Creator to give him a complete desire without any compromises to himself. And he asks the Creator to help him always be with his righteousness.
Mukhach ha-adam le'achlit ba'atzmo
One must decide on his own that the Creator, that he wants the Creator to give him the desire to annul to him entirely, meaning not to live under his own authority any desire, but rather for all of his desires to be only to engage in the glory of the heavens. And once he decides on complete annulment, he asks the Creator to help him execute it. This means that although in the mind and the desire he sees that the body disagrees with him, with annulling all his desires before the Creator, instead of for his own sake, he should pray to the Creator to help him want to annul before him with all the desires, leaving no desire for himself. This is called a complete prayer, meaning that he wishes that the Creator will give him a complete desire without any compromises to himself, and he asks of the Creator to help him to always be with his righteousness.
How can I depict a situation where, instead of whatever I have now, all of my desires, my intentions, my feelings, my thoughts, everything that I have seemingly goes away, it is unfelt, and instead of it, I get fulfillment from the Creator, so that the Creator fills me up with His thoughts, His emotions, with everything that He has. So that when I annul myself this way, then I get fulfillment from the Creator. How can I depict that now? Please. The fulfillment in such a way will be called the light of Nefesh. Please.
I can imagine something like, well, our thoughts are like a place with a certain volume, and when you clear out some space from thoughts about yourself, there's empty space then available for thoughts about what's outside of you. Sentences like one who grieves with the public is awarded with the comfort of the public. If one doesn't identify too much with his own earthly body and where it rolls off to every day, what happens to it, rather he has an environment that supports him in raising his head a bit outside of himself and see who's taking care of the system, what's happening with it, then he has this opportunity to see the Creator in that system through the connections between people in that environment that he comes across.
It's a wonderful state of dissatisfaction in the will to receive, upon which there is constant prayer for you, for the ten, for the connection in the ten, so that the forces that you get from there produce a kind of a different fulfillment that doesn't fill up the desire directly.
Yes, annulling myself means that I annul my concern for myself, and instead of that, I need to introduce a concern for the friends, concern for their spirituality. There's no vacuum. Something exits and something else enters.
We need to realize that this is the next degree of my development, and I want to reach it, and I'm willing, and I'm ready, and all of my life I was waiting for this.
It's a very powerful description. Suddenly you understand how your entire worldview is governed by your desire. Well, where will I be more comfortable? Where will it be more pleasant? How can I flee troubles? That's how it is, until you go to sleep, and including sleep. And you're being given now, suddenly, an opportunity to see a different reality.
Yes, and this image that you build, immediately it came up to me, the picture of a candle. You have this oil plate, which are all of your bubbling desires, and there is a prayer, the wick, which is your ego, that is burning from all of the states that it goes through. But all of this is dedicated to bring up the light in the candle. And you are in adhesion with the light. You're willing for your ego to burn, for your desires to bubble, so long as there is light.
Yes, the ego burns like this bush that Moses saw. The burning bush. It's there, but burning. So, in that place, there's no vacuum, that's correct. If we make ourselves a vacuum, then the Creator, well, we make room for the Creator.
From examples of this world, even desires of this world, a person is just talking to himself and is scrutinizing states with himself about what is happening to him. Let's say sometimes he's very busy. When I was very busy at work and I started feeling that I'm becoming sick, you can tell the body, come on, give me a few more days to finish something, then we'll become sick. And here too, you get a state, and if you have importance for what you're doing in your work, you can tell this state, wait a minute, stand on the side for a second, there's something more important that we're now engaging in, and somehow there to focus.
Rav, let's compose a prayer. When I need to overcome some disturbances, how do I relate to these disturbances? How do I relate to their origin? And how should I use them correctly? What is the prayer? Three sentences. Go on.
Give the friends.
You can, if you can put it all into one sentence, that's even better. Please.
Give the friends the importance of the goal so that they'll always be able to overcome the disturbances.
Let us see that everything comes from you, and importance for the quality of bestowal, so that the friends will be able to overcome the interruptions.
Give us, so that we will be able to bring contentment to you.
Yes, that above all the interruptions, we'll see that you're the one who sends them, that everything comes from you, in order to bring you contentment.
Voilà.
Whoa. I'm grateful to you that you gave me a 10, because otherwise you wouldn't even be talking. And I'm grateful to you for this state where I can ask that we will justify the friend and the apparent flaws, and that you will raise him, elevate him, and bring him to your quality.
Let us see if everything comes from you, and if you think that it's wrong, if you don't think that you need to give that, then
then this also comes from you. And let us see that everything comes from you, and that everything that comes is to my benefit. And give me the force, the power, to turn this sensation into being to your benefit. Doesn't quite sound really good, but
yes, so that we won't need to see your revelation, but rather that we want to be like you without revoking the concealment.
Yes, that we will be able to renew the work every moment, every second,
and by that bring you contentment.
that we will want to cleave on to your quality, not to discover you, and to see that reality is completely full of the Creator, and together bring you contentment.
Amen.
Perhaps we need to ask the Creator for the power to be like Him. Item 10, from Rabash, Volume 2, The Entrance to the Work. After one attains the degree called Lolishma, not for her sake, he is rewarded with other phenomena, namely that he arrives at a higher state where he has no concern for himself, and instead all of his calculations and thoughts are regarding the truth, meaning that his intention is to annul himself entirely in respect to the true reality, where he feels that he should only serve the king, because he feels the glory, greatness, and importance of the king. Then he forgets, meaning that he has no need to worry about himself, for his aspect of self is annulled as a candle before a torch in light of the reality of the Creator which he feels. Then he is in the aspect of Lishma, for her sake, which is contentment for the Creator. And all of his wishes and concerns are about how to please the Creator, while his own being, meaning the will to receive, is not taken into account at all. Then he is in the aspect of bestowing in order to bestow.
Nikra Shuv. After
one attains the degree called Lolishma, he is awarded with other phenomena, namely that he arrives at a higher state where he has no concern.
No. Let's depict this state of what does it mean, Lolishma, that we truly attained it, when you can say that we have attained the degree of Lolishma. Please, go ahead.
Lolishma, not for her sake, is a state where it's opposite to Lishma, meaning that there was a state of bestowal which is not with the intention of satisfying myself, but rather to ask for the friends so that the Creator is revealed in them.
It is a degree in which we, all of us, are entirely aimed towards the Creator. We want to attain Him. We feel, we dedicate all of our time to that. This is the most important thing for us in our lives. This is the desire is controlling us, but the intention is still not correct.
Yes, we do it out of lack of choice, because we must, nature compels us, and so we do it in order to benefit ourselves.
It's when you see the whole of reality through the Creator, through the Ten, anything that happens immediately, you ascribe it to there is none else besides Him. However, you still, at the end of the calculation, remain with what am I going to get out of it? You don't manage to disconnect at the very last stage from yourself.
Truth be told, I can't differentiate them. Whenever corruption is revealed and it's translated into man, it's lishma completely, but it's temporary because there are layers of the desire which have not yet been corrected in order to bestow. And it's transmuted into lishma, which is bestowal in order to bestow. And so I think Lolishma is a huge state of adhesion, but it's temporary until the next desire comes up and throws you to the floor, and then you begin the work anew.
Yes, we have to go through all of the layers of the will to receive, and if you seemingly convert them to, you know, to bestow, but in the end, nevertheless, remains this place where I also want to get something there.
So long as some measure, even the smallest measure of reward is involved, or selfish benefit in my attempt to try to change and resemble the Creator, if I have the slightest excuse to justify why it's true, why I'm doing it like that, then it's still lo lishma. But when I look at it and I know that it's not the final state, it's not the truth, it's not where we need to come to, and I aspire to get to a state where I can get rid of that also, meaning that feeling of the excuse for why I should do it, then it'll be lishma. But so long as one is moving, progressing, he must be in lo lishma.
Rav, how do I check myself? Am I in lo lishma yet, or maybe already I'm in lishma? This transition, is it a back and forth, or...
It depends on if I can ask for the concealment not to be gone.
We have to check the reward. What is it that I want to achieve?
I examine my disposition towards the friends and the Creator. If the disruptions disconnect me from the feeling of the Creator, or how long does it take me to return to it?
Yes, I'm in a kind of constant examination of how do the disturbances and whatever appears to me leave me in awareness or take me out of awareness. How many times do I get out and come back into these states?
Not long ago, a student asked me, how do you know that you've come to revelation, to adhesion? So I told him what we just heard. Here, don't worry about it. If you get there, you'll know. So that's how it'll be.
Yes, if we will get there, we will know. Until then, intellectually, you can say that only when you get everything, in order to bestow. It all comes from the Creator, and it's in order to bring contentment on top of everything.
Rav, lishma means that I have no calculation for myself, but rather everything is for the Creator. Yes, I am to my beloved, and my beloved is for me. So how do I make sure that everything that I have in mind and heart is aimed only at the Creator? What is the examination?
The examination is, well, there is this allegory that if you see that a friend can bestow more contentment to the Creator, you were given an opportunity, but you can see that he will give more contentment to the Creator, you even give up the possibility, the opportunity to bestow. It's not when you will get there you will know, it's when you no longer care, not even about knowing. This feeling that you are, you simply don't care, simply that the self, the I, is completely cancelled. There is no question about how will I know in that state.
It's when there are disturbances, and opposite them, well, against them, I continue in the work as if I had a revelation, without the need to remove these disturbances and without the need to know, to feel within reason, that by so doing I give contentment to the Creator.
How do I check that everything that I have in my mind and heart is aimed only for the Creator? When there are no other desires, or on top of these, the desires that keep popping, and on top of all of the obstructions, I'm capable of not disconnecting from the connection with Him, not disconnecting from the connection, from where all of this is coming from, where all of my desires and disturbances come from.
The examination is regarding the connection to the group. If I succeed every time, never mind what's going on through me, what's happening to me, if I manage to, well, serve the group, then this is more important to me than calculations for myself. Then I've replaced my importance regarding to where I aim things.
Bala Sulam wrote to us an article, Malchut without the Taga, without Tagin, that in the end, if the state yields a Pratsuf that has no Ketel, it means that you're crying over yourself, not over the correction. And it also says about the sages, it wrote that the bribe blinds the eyes of the sages. So it doesn't bring you light, rather it is blocked.
When you supposedly kill yourself before the 10, your opinions, meaning item 11 from Baal Sulam, letter 8. There is a sublime purpose for all that happens in this world, and it is called the drop of unification. When those dwellers of clay houses go through all those terrors, through all that totality in his pride which is removed from them, a vent opens in the walls of their hearts, which is tightly sealed by nature, by the nature of creation itself, and they become fit for instilling that drop of unification in their hearts. Then they are inverted like an imprinted substance, and they will evidently see that it is so, that it is to the contrary, that it was precisely in those dreadful terrors that they perceive the totality, which is removed by foreign pride. There, and only there, is the Creator Himself clung, and there He can instill them with the drop of unification.
What is that drop of unification that we will get according to our adhesion, at the point of our adhesion with the Creator? What is that drop of unification? Read it again, please.
Again. There is a sublime purpose for all that happens in this world, and it is called the drop of unification. When those dwellers of clay houses go through all those terrors, through all that totality in his pride which is removed from them, a vent opens in the walls of their hearts, which are tightly sealed by the nature of creation itself, and they become fit for instilling that drop of unification in their hearts. Then they are inverted like an imprinted substance, and they will evidently see that it is to the contrary, that it was precisely in those dreadful terrors that they perceive the totality which is removed by foreign pride. There, and only there, is the Creator Himself clung, and there He can instill them with the drop of unification.
What is the drop of unification? That's one. Second, what conditions must be in us, in our kelim, in our qualities, in our thoughts and desires and our intentions, so that we will reach the we will reach receiving the drop of unification? What is the kli, the vessel for receiving that drop of unification? Please.
I feel that the drop of unification is that very same spark, the point of the heart which is revealed, discovered within the will to receive. And the condition for receiving it is avut and shared prayer, mutual prayer by the friends who engage together above reason in achieving a connection and crafting that vessel in which the light can be revealed.
Because in the connection, the annulment is revealed, which is the condition that one is willing to stay in that oppositeness which is revealed between the quality of the Creator and my own quality, and in spite of that, to hold on to the request and the demand to be in bestowal, in the inclination outwardly.
Yes, there needs to be in us some point, something that wants to work above the will to receive. Some point which understands and aspires to some extent to connect with the friends.
Yes, the kli is annulment. Annulment, where actually a space is created into which this drop can enter.
The drop is composed of points in the heart which connect and are assembled into one drop. They're included such that you can't differentiate between them anymore. You can only identify a common desire, which is the main thing and what we emphasize.
Seemingly, this whole paragraph, every third word there is pride. If above those terrors you're willing that your pride will burn before the pride of the Creator, that He is the important one, and you translate the situation into a deficiency for connection and into the sorrow of divinity, then you can get that drop of unification.
Yes, pride inverts into love of brothers, brotherly love, love of others also.
I was actually impressed from the fact that it is revealed in those clay houses that there is a crack there. If you manage to take all of this ego, the thoughts of myself, so that there is this point of inversion, suddenly this spark will come of a different idea that bestowal is actually the force that rules and moves everything. It also moves the will to receive. And if not for the gap between them, it won't be able to kind of emerge and stand out there. So the question is, who rules? Who will rule? Me or the Creator? Me or the friends? Me or... And we need both of these extremes in order to seemingly choose.
Rav, who are the dwellers of clay houses, and what terrors do they need to go through in order to reach that drop of unification? Who are those dwellers of clay houses, and what terrors do they need to go through in order to reach that drop of unification?
The dwellers of clay houses, or the owners of the clay, are us, and the terrors or the threats. Well, the greatest threat to the will to receive is that it will be removed, revoked from reality, because it doesn't really exist. It is in an imaginary reality where it exists, and it's not willing to give up that imagination.
The owners of the clay are the desires within us, the desires to receive, and the terrors that they have to undergo. It's the feeling that they'll never be satisfied in any desire that they have. No desire will be able to satisfy itself.
Maybe the clay or the matter is actually the yearning that we build on top of the disturbances that can appear, on top of all of the threats, the terrors.
Terrors which the Creator brings our ego, which is the matter, the clay. It's exactly what it needs in order to rise and fall, to be disappointed by this care, concern for oneself. You need to identify all of your nature as such that is concerned only for yourself.
I don't know what to add, actually. Maybe, as you said, the clay, the matter, is the desires, and when your desires are the place where I want to actualize my life instead of my desires.
Love, what are the threats which those dwellers of clay houses feel? In what exactly is the threat? Please. Speak, discuss it amongst yourselves.
One of these threats is that you will be hated. Everyone.
There are many others. Many others also besides. Not just that. The owners of the clay are those who don't feel the hand of the crafter. There's this song that Abbas sang, the matter in the hand of the craftsman. They don't know what's happening with them, what will happen to them, and that's one is then very concerned about what's happening with him, and he doesn't see a good end to all those states. And when the craftsman is revealed, that you're being taken care of by, there's none else besides him, good and benevolent, you're always under his care, and this sensation, well, it needs to be changed.
Rav, why specifically in those terrors or these threats the Creator is revealed? Why inside of them, deep inside of them, we have contact with the Creator?
Because these threats come against the authority, whether my own authority, or perhaps there is the one authority.
The threat is actually on my own authority when we feel that I have no self-authority, and out of that has to emerge a certain appeal to the upper force.
One needs to agree to it that, well, he'll need to annul himself. Upon that, he needs to want a connection to the Creator.
Well, we have to at some point reach disillusionment, disappointment from the ego. But there has to be a decision there, that even though I'm attached to my ego, I decide, because of the importance that I've built with the friends, that I'm willing to actually place the quality of bestowal above it. And to feel in that, well, we have to be real freed from the ego. If there's no effort in our freedom from the ego, we won't feel anything.
It's impossible to clarify the intention when you win $1 million in the lottery. But if it's over pain, the will to receive, which is suffering from that state, then there's room for discernment.
If you want annul, the Creator will annul you. So it's worthwhile to do it first.
Rav, if we would have received, instead of threats, gifts. Yes, instead of fear, anxiety, bad feelings, which penetrate, and the Creator knows how to do it. Yes? If instead of that, we would have received, we'd have been dizzy by this wonderful profit, gain, success we have in that lottery. What is easier to concede, to give up? A great gift or a great threat? Why are you looking at me like that? Yes, well, imagine to yourselves. For us, to us, it doesn't matter. We need to reach annulment. And annulment towards whatever it may be, there's the point of conception. Imagine, each one gets a huge sum of money through Amazon, perhaps, I don't know. And he's like amazed, but it's written there, you deserve it, you've won, and so on. Then from that moment on, I don't know, he's completely dizzy, befuddled. It would have been easier for us to reach annulment to the Creator through those kinds of feelings, or through suffering, threats. Try to think of it in a different way. We have a few minutes more. If not through threats, but rather by richness and such confusions, surplus, then would the Kli of Adam Rishon have needed to be broken, or perhaps a different, opposite action should have been taken, and which? Well, let's mix things up. Go on.
Well, nevertheless, we must have these threats in order to awaken the person through sufferings and problems. It's also possible in a state where you get something good to feel such a pain. Well, the Creator sent it to me. Apparently, I did something good. I'm the chosen one, the favorite one of the Creator. He likes me. You can bring the Creator there too, but still there's a lot of me left there. And when the disturbance comes and you're like a rug on the floor, then a cry for help comes out, and over that cry for help, a calculation begins. I want help for what purpose? To get rid of the situation, or maybe help in order to change, or to see where it's all coming from, or to realize what it is that they want from me? A greater calculation opens up, in a calculation of a scrutiny that is bigger and deeper through the problems. Not that we want problems.
If within those gifts it would have been discovered that they're being received from one source and I'm opposite to it, then shame would have been disclosed. And then it would have been a state that you can work in.
What gifts are we talking about now? Corporeal things, $1 million or something like that? In that, I can easily imagine the feeling of emptiness that comes along with that. And I don't know, I don't see any difference.
I think that one would never have come to any need or question about the Creator if he felt constant satisfaction, because that's the will to receive. So we're very lucky that the Creator is treating us with threats and not gifts.
Even though you can see a person who gets this kind of dizziness from, say, corporeal success, and it actually only accelerates processes, it brings him to scrutinies and to disappointment from his ego, sometimes it can be faster than another person who seemingly nothing works out for him in life. So you can't really tell. Apparently the Creator sends each one whatever he needs. One needs a success in order to be disappointed from the ego, the other one needs failure, but the Creator stands behind both of them.
Yes, when one develops through fulfillment, this is Bchina Aleph, the first phase. We were there, and we got eventually to the fourth phase, and then we discovered who we are truly, and we've been awarded with disconnection, meaning independence, with constant satisfaction, gifts. You're addicted, and you can't create, there can't be a state of an independent being, creation, in reality. So now we're opening all that desire back, and
yes, if we suddenly get, let's say, Gmar Tikkun and of correction right now, seemingly they would steal from us the Kelim, the vessels of sensation, this whole story.
Rav, how do we create good education for children? If we mix it up, we wanted to do the best by them. You know, a little egoist, each one of the children is. And how could we create such education which is by the giving of good, and not by punishments and restrictions? Please.
No, it's impossible. The true good for a child is not for him to be satisfied at his state, rather for him to yearn to grow, to be curious, to investigate, research, and develop. If we develop what's good is to develop, it means the difficulty has to be there, because when it's difficult, you rise. It's like with bicycles, if you want to be in an ascent. This is how you tame soldiers, this is how you tame animals, this is how you raise a student or an athlete. It has to be through difficulties that development comes.
Always on the side of good. I need to show the kid that I'm always on his side. But in nature, there is this thing called the ego, and it spoils our fun. And I can help him get fun by teaching him how to work with this ego correctly, not directly to restrict him.
Well, it's clear that on one hand, you cannot simply shower him with good because this only spoils him. And, well, this is the example with the son of the rich father who put him in the basement. Seemingly, this is the right attitude. But I think that the balance between the two, well, you have to limit the ego on one hand, on the other hand, you have to depict to it the good so that it will aspire for it.
And to develop, well, awareness of how things work, how my mechanism as a human being is constructed through good or bad, but the important thing is for there to be some awakening of awareness towards human nature, how people relate to one another, to the world. That's how one learns on himself.
Seemingly the best education is to challenge, which is good, but the match point is that in connection, through connection we succeed. That's our whole education, really. So in the end, the result from anything has to be, oh, how great we managed to do it together.
Yes, it's, well, the method of the wisdom of Kabbalah, the path of Torah. That's the most ideal thing for children, and there, in the connection, many different states will be disclosed, but
Rav, questions? Don't have any? We'll move on to the next part. Do you have questions? Well, Asaf, go ahead. I want to hear something from you. So how do you educate a child? You're asking me? I don't know. That's why I asked you. Obviously, without the good, a child cannot grow. He must have good to some extent, but he also has to have limitations. Let's say we're all children and will to receive.
What does it mean to grow? To grow up means that I have a good desire to the next state, the more advanced state, and I receive the strength, the force to reach that state. My deficiency and the forces, the powers from above, right? How can I have a good deficiency, a correct deficiency to the next degree, to the next state, more advanced state, yeah, even in a child, it doesn't matter in whom. And such a deficiency that I certainly receive strength, the force of growth, of filling. Where will I have such a deficiency? Because it all depends on such a deficiency.
Can't it be just from good example?
I don't know. You need to decide about that. But you said it correctly. The main thing is from example. A few additional factors, but in short, it's the environment. The environment. Okay, more questions?
A question from Argentina. How can we maintain our desires and at the same time to leave everything?
We don't have to keep anything. Why do I have to keep anything? I have to keep nothing except for one thing. Total annulment. And that's it. Odd? More?
When a disturbance comes or a blow, does it neutralize? It's supposed to hurt my ego, and then the heart becomes softer, and then it is easier to connect to the quality of the soul, to be connected to the Creator. Is that right?
Of course, the blows come to us from the Creator in such a way that they aim us to adhere to Him reluctantly. I see such threats, I have nowhere to run to. The whole world is against me, I don't know what to do. And what will I do? Where will I run away to? What will I do? on all sides, all the forms that come to a person are such that are, you know, that's it, the end of the world. Where can I quickly die? There's nowhere to hide. But just to finish with the state. And of course, that sensation brings a person to annulment, the annulment of himself. It gives me an example. So how to annul myself? And from here, I have a direct access to the Creator. Just like we tame small animals, similarly, they tame us. It's a will to receive. We have nothing more than that.
Now, this is through suffering. This is the path of suffering.
It's not the path of suffering. Why suffering? That's how they show us. Who are we? How can we be influenced? In what way? And how do we wake up from it to bestow? Reluctantly, it's called Lolishma. What is Lolishma? Not for her name. I'm willing to adhere to the Creator. Why? Why? So I would feel good. So I'd feel good. I profit, I succeed, I'm not afraid of the world, I look down at everyone. It's worthwhile to be adhered to the Creator. Why are you laughing, Niv? It's worth it, right? You see? I wish we would all discover such a tendency. That I want to be adhered to the Creator because this is the insurance policy for all the good.
I thought that this is the path of suffering, and the path of Torah is that I myself try to connect to the friends, and by doing so, I give blows to my ego.
You're right.
And that is called the path of Torah.
You're right.
And then if a disturbance comes from the Creator, then fine, then it taints me. So where's my recognition here? The whole thing is that I am now sitting.
You accelerate your development in advance, even before the suffering comes to you and the problems, right? As if you're in a competition with the Creator, who will awaken my donkey the fastest to become a man, either I by myself or the Creator. The Creator through all various torments, and I through the environment. Right?
Right.
Okay, get into this competition with him.
So why did you call the first path not the path of suffering? It is the path of suffering.
No. The fact that the Creator is showing us along the way how much we are captive, we're captivated in our will to receive. We're unable to do anything. This is teaching. Also, in teaching, you have two lines. To determine that there is nothing besides him, you can't do it just on your own with the friends. You determine that on top of various influences, typically negative influences. She who the Creator loves, he will reproach. But it's not called negative, bad, evil. He's teaching you where you are broken and how much you need to reach adhesion in those points.
So what is the path of suffering in our development?
The path of suffering in our development is a natural, long way. Meaning it doesn't come to me from this personal relationship with the Creator. When I'm not in the society, I'm not in the study, I'm not in the reforming light. Rather, the general light comes and it advances all of humanity and myself included. This is called the path of suffering. We're there, it's only out of blows. But the blows that are not towards the Creator, where I locate that it's coming from Him and so on, Rather, this regular blows. You see, the whole world? Look how confused it is, suffering from day to day. They discover their helplessness. They don't know what to do. This is the general path.
Now, is it true that I sacrifice my ego by connecting to the friends? Then there is no need for the Creator to give me additional disturbances? Or no, I shouldn't make such calculation.
No. This will pass. There's few stages that they will pass. We'll learn how to work with it. We'll learn. Of course, between knowing how to work and there are also periods of darkness. But more and more, we will be. Will be experienced that although there will be great disconnections and falls and I would see Rabash like a beast like that. I'm telling you, I don't see, I don't feel anything. Such a state, foggy, confused, it passes relatively quickly, but this is, you go from state to state. That's why we need a strong environment, serial study, you should not miss even one day. And that's how you advance. We are in a
intensive,
extremely intense stage. But on the path of Torah, there are many revelations of the negative force of our own nature, the shattering of Adam HaRishon that exists in each and everyone. And these states are unpleasant. What is he saying? All those dwellers of the houses of clay, when they go through the threats, and there, inside those states, there appears the drop of unity. Read it again, that excerpt.
Again, excerpt number 11, Baal HaSulam, letter 8. There is a sublime purpose for all that happens in this world, and it is called the drop of unification. When those dwellers of clay houses go through all those terrors, through all that totality, in his pride, which is removed from them, a vent opens in the walls of their hearts, which are tightly sealed by the nature of creation itself, and they become fit for instilling that drop of unification in their hearts. Then they are inverted like an imprinted substance, and they will evidently see that it is to the contrary, that it was precisely in those dreadful terrors that they perceived the totality which is removed by foreign pride. There, and only there, is the Creator himself clung. And there, he can instill them with the drop of unification.
Meaning specifically in the point of threat and fear and lack of understanding and losing everything there, he discovered that it's coming from the Creator, and the Creator is inviting you to adhere to Him on top of that feeling that you're not canceling. You're not canceling it. It is bringing you to connection. Therefore, the environment, the reforming light, all those things, environmental things are very important, very important.
How, through all these terrors and all these disturbances, they turn a person into a greater beast which keeps running and hides more from those blows.
He is discovering that it is coming from the Creator. He is discovering this duality, that the loving Father with absolute love is now coming to him to teach him how to be like him. He is discovering it. And that's why in that he's becoming not an animal, because he's rising above that state, above the threat. He's saying, let there be a threat, because I'm rising above my will to receive. I'm rising above the threat. They're in me, the will to receive and the threat, but through them, thanks to them, I come to adhesion. Where I prefer the adhesion. Well, it's coming. I have no words. You will see it soon enough. You simply need to be consistent, persistent, more and more, not to stop. Yes, Asaf.
Can I try to understand totally the example of kids' education?
I don't think so. It's not recommended. If it's towards us...
For us, not for kids' education.
No, it's not worthwhile. We will accumulate a little bit more experience with the blows and how to cover them, that this comes from the Creator, both of them, and then we'll talk. It's too early. Yes, Yaakov, bring back the mic.
When friends feel threatened, they ask for their thoughts, of society. They write, when a person feels threatened, he writes, I'm asking for your thoughts. So what should we think for him then? What should we want for him then?
We don't have to come to that. We have to fill the air with confidence, with the feeling of the righteousness of the path, and the fact that I'm responsible for everyone. If I want, egoistically, to not be harmed, the best remedy is if I think of the others. Then there will be no damage. Never. If I want to be concerned only about them, I will never feel any bad. Because in advance, it's called that I'm walking on the path of Torah, the path of light, Achishena. So they don't need to awaken me, that I will run from the evil and start to take care of the others. Only in that way. Also those mountaineers, we talked about it, that if a person is advancing in the connection with others, they're tied with this this rope. He must be concerned with everyone, and then by that he guarantees his own safety. That's the law. Who's there in the end? Yes, Bill.
So,
shortly.
Shortly.
If I understand this correctly, so when you're feeling the difficulties from the Creator, and it's like being in a pond with alligators snapping at your backside, my job is to pray that if I recognize it coming from the Creator, my job is to pray that the friends will never have to experience what I'm experiencing.
No.
Then I'm in the river and the alligators are snapping next to me, right? And then you know how they come quietly and then they revolve around you slowly and then they jump at you. If you identify them, the Creator that is arranging everything for you, then you look at them as they are leading you towards the point of unity, the adhesion. Each one of you that wants to bite you, that wants to eat you, from those things, you start to identify how you come to adhesion. you're inverting the forces. The death angel becomes the holy angel. It will come. It will be. Okay, that's it. We're done with the questions?
No.
Relatively, okay.
And what is that point of unification? All these allocators bring me adhesion. What is it?
The point of unity, of adhesion itself?
Yeah.
Were I above the disturbances, above them, not that they disappear, but above them, I come to a state where there is nothing besides him. And all the alligators are watching me from behind, so I would not disconnect. And then in addition to them, we have dinosaurs, something more. You know, I have to be in greater and greater adhesion.
That point of unification is when I ascribe everything to the Creator, and I'm in the feeling that it is all the Creator, that everything comes from Him, or something else is revealed.
No, you don't need anything more. This is enough. It's all coming from there's nothing besides Him. These two forces are in His hands. Both the alligators and He Himself. The guards that don't let us climb the mountain, what are they doing? They're building us in such a way that we'll be ready to enter the king's palace on the top of the mountain. When we come there and the door opens and the king says, well, where are you? I've been waiting you for a whole month. Where are you? Are you confused? What happened? You started to climb a month ago, let's say. So wasn't he who did all those things to us, built the mountain, told the guards how to watch the palace and drive everyone away from him? He did everything. So what do we have to do? This whole negation, what are we getting from the guards? We're receiving all the forces, the negative forces, and then we rise above them, and then we have a vessel.
So a greater darkness opens up, a greater threat.
Of course.
And the Creator feels the Kli later on?
Yeah, it's called the Days of the Messiah, or darkness.
So the greater threats and fears that we have, the better?
Yeah, it's a sign that you're strong, that you can take these things and together, as in the
and there was
right,
always,
left line, overcome in the left, in the right.
And there will always be one point that belongs to the Creator.
The middle point between the right and left.
And then what opens up in this point?
The drop of unity. Okay, what?
As Jürgen from Germany is asking, so what is the drop of unification?
What is the drop of unity? It's such a revelation that I can't describe it, but it's a kind of revelation where there's truly nothing except for there's nothing besides Him. Also from the perspective of the vessels, there's nothing. That's the feeling. The feeling of unity, that's the purpose of